been busy at home at the moment. We've got a live clinic, a clinic we've just finished, and we're just setting up for more people arriving on pop-up clinics. So with our current situation here, what's happening with the borders being closed and different things, we're running a few more pop-up clinics out of Mudgee. And yeah, thank you for everyone who's managed to sort of fill them to keep things going. That's been really good. Still strong possibility to go to Victoria, so we're hoping we still get down there for the clinics. So yeah, just hoping that'll all happen. But we've got some good questions here. The first question I got is from Rhonda. I've recently got a station bred stock horse. He trots with his head right down low. I haven't cantered him yet. I was told to give the reins a little bump to encourage his head up. This gets his head up, but it goes back down again. Please help. So there's some reasons why horses keep their head down low. Got to think of the right word. Some horses lack a bit of confidence, and they're a bit kind of like, I don't know if it's I wouldn't call sulky the right word, but it's kind of like they sort of get down there, and I dealt with just recently the clinic at Yugara, a friend who's done a few clinics. She's got a young horse that she started and a while ago, and he's been out for a while, but he puts his head down low. And it's when he's kind of thinking about her, he kind of just suddenly just gets his head right down and just travels low. But when he sort of has to look at something or think ahead or get a soft forward thought, good morning, Dawn, he starts to pick his head up and go forward. And a lot of horses that, you know, get comfortable with carrying us, with thinking backwards, thinking forwards, tend to just become normal horses and just travel along. What I've been helping her do, and it'll sort of be, I think, in relation to yours, is there's a couple of things you've got to address. One is, where is his thoughts when he's going along? Usually those horses that just sort of hide with their head down a little, they tend to be sort of kind of stuck on us, like we're a bit of a wriggly spider on their back. So we really have to give them responsibility. So with responsibility, basically you have to allow them to slow down before you say speed up again, and just leave them and travel with them. And it might take a day or two or three of them just going forward themselves. And you don't want too many interruptions, in a sense of you don't want to be constantly moving the reins and shifting your seat and kicking to keep them going, because that just kind of is more white noise that makes them kind of go all like that. Now I'm not saying exactly why that's he's got his head down, but that's a common reason that I find they get their head down. And when they sort of start to get confident with us, and knowing that they have to maintain that forward, because you might find that he's kind of not carrying nice forward energy sometimes when his head's low. I don't know, like you could sort of correct me on that, but when he sort of gets a nice forward thought and he's traveling along, generally they'll pick their head up and start to carry themselves upright. But that's not the only spectrum I'm going to sort of, you know, work from on that. So he's got to let go of you, think forward. That's the whole thing. So get him to go, give him the responsibility to keep going. If he slows down, then you can speed him up with your legs, but the legs have to mean speed up, so you have to let him slow down so he can speed up again. And just get him sort of travelling forward without you interrupting him on his back all the time. So give him more responsibility and leave him alone and just let him travel for a while and see if, after a while, he starts to get confident and start to carry himself along, and then he might just start to pick his head up. That's one thing. And some horses are a little bit like shut down or anything like that, that aren't comfortable about us. That's what, when they start to just carry their head kind of down there. Other horses, then there's the other end of the spectrum, where horses that have been up and tight and nervous and really frightened and really braced, when they finally relax, they'll stretch and telescope and put their head down. And that's kind of a different thing. But if it's just the horse that's carrying his head low all the time, I find it's a kind of timidness, and it's a lack of understanding, and it's a lack of carrying soft forward thoughts and having a bit of desire. That's kind of what it all stems down to. The next thing I would say is, everything you do, so when you do make a transition, so the horse that I was helping at the Yugara clinic, well, every time we did a transition. We got the horse to pick itself up. So a transition may be a back up, a transition may be a turn, anything like that. So every time you pick up on the reins, you want the horse to kind of elevate, come up, become upright, and then think into a turn, think into a back up. So basically, instead of bumping to say, get your head back up and then falling back down, sometimes we'd put, now I know I just said, leave your horse alone and let it travel, because that's the other thing you need to do. So when your horse has got somewhere to go and things like that, just leave it alone and let it just travel and think forward. But then when you're doing a few little transitions, so you're not hunting it all the time to keep it going. If you're hunting it, it's going to be kind of just having it stuck on you. But then when you're getting to sort of a spot that you might sort of put some transitions together, and these would be rein transitions like turns. So I would come into a turn, I'd pick up my inside rein, say for instance, because it's a left turn, I'm going to pick up the left rein, and I'm going to pick it up in the air. And I want the horse to come up with the rein with its pole, even get the pole above the wither, and then I'm going to take the turn. If your horse buries down when you pick up the rein, so what I say to people, put the reins up in the air like that, and see what your horse does. And a lot of horses are used to you tucking your reins back into your belt kind of thing and kind of having low hands, and they kind of bury in. But you don't notice they're pushing down until you actually lift the rein. But when you lift the rein on a horse, you'll feel this pressure starting to push down, and that's the horse's pushing down on the rein. So, and actually there's another question here. I think it might be Brenda's. Yeah, it might be Brenda's one. Which you'll tie into. I'll be going over this a little bit again. But a lesson you can do on the ground is just get your horse to like lift your halter lead up, and just push up in the air, and get your horse to lift up like that, and it'll push down for a while, and you just hold until it loosens, and then go up again until it loosens, and then you keep your hand up until the horse is not kind of pushing on you, and then you push up until that horse releases through its body and kind of backs up a little and releases its front feet and backs up. And that's a really good lesson to get a horse used to kind of having his head up and kind of releasing and backing up a little. But we have to teach our horses that if we lift the rein, they can come up with the rein. We have to teach them that before we actually bump them up or do anything like that. We actually have to install that in them. So, because a lot of horses, you lift the rein and they just bury down. And instead of bumping the horse to get, say, wake its head up and causing a brace or anything like that, you're actually getting the horse to lift up, and then what starts to happen, they lift up through the wither, and you're hoping that base of the neck loosens up and they lift up through the wither. So so everything I would do, every backward transition, left and right transition, I would come in to a turn and I'd lift up on the rein and get the horse to lift and look into the turn, lift and back up. And even if its head goes a little higher to start with, but the moral to this is the lift has got to turn into a change of balance through the whole horse, not just a lift of the head and the body stays stuck. So, you know, those horses are kind of pull back and they freeze in their feet and lock up and kind of bow in their back feet. Well, that's not what we're doing. We're not lifting the head up just so they can stand there frozen. We're lifting so they can move and free up. And so basically, what I would do with a horse like that is I'd give it some long areas where it can travel without me interfering with it all the time, and just see if it starts to carry a soft forward thought itself and pick itself up. But then when I did do some transitions, I'd put a few little transitions together in sequence, so the horse thinks by the time I've sort of walked, you know, say, oh, well, I'll give you an example, is that I might sort of pick up the reins. Now, I've just told you that you've got to teach that first. So you're on the ground, you can teach the horse to lift its head. So when rein pressure goes up, it can lift. And then I would say, hey, I'm going to lift the reins, and you're going to lift up and back up. And then I'm going to loosen the reins, and I'm going to put a little droop in the reins. So because the horse has got to understand when you pick that droop up in the rein, when the weight of that rein comes up, the horse kind of lifts up and becomes more aware with the rein. So I'm going to walk forward, droop, but then I'm only going to go a meter or two, and then I'm going to pick up another backup, and then I might do that a bit. I might pick up another backup, so the horse actually goes, well, what's the point of putting all my head all the way down there, because only in a couple of meters I'm going to have to pick up and back up again. So I'm going to put a lot of little transitions close together, and these are more rein transitions, not leg go transitions. They're more just hey back up, hey turn left, hey turn right. So you might go back up, and then you might lift the left rein and turn out of the back up to the left or the right. Or you might just ride a little bit, pick up the inside rein, do a turn to the left, like a 90 degree turn, or even tighter than that, where the horse has to lift the wither, look and open its inside front foot, and step into the turn. So you really want to keep that horse lifted. Now, you're not holding it up, I mean, you're letting it go in between, but when it pick the reins up for the transition, it's got to lift and step out, lift and step out, and lift and do this. And at the last turn at Yagari with that particular horse that put its head down, he got really good at lifting and turning and balancing. And once he was good at it, he could do that, and he knew that he could rebalance and lift through the wither, then he had a tool that he didn't know. Before that, I think he started to get a little too heavy on the front end, and he didn't know he could fix that. So, you know, it's going to be easier horse just to kind of cruise along on the front end sometimes if they don't know any better. But so you really have to teach the horse to lift. And once they know they can lift to back up and they can lift to turn, then they know that's available, and it's going to be more comfortable because they're going to get looser and not carry so much tension and weight on their shoulders. And then once that's also available, every time they transition into a turn or a backup, then they're less likely to just plonk down in between, because they'll start to carry themselves between transitions. I'd look into that, but don't bump the horse to get it up. Teach it to lift up with the reins. So what I say to people, reins are not two-dimensional. What I mean by two-dimensional, say the bottom of the screen is there. We kind of ride along going, yeah, turn, turn, back, you know, turn, turn, where I'm sort of saying, hey, rein could go anywhere. It could go up here, over here. If I got a horse that's kind of, you know, falling, like I pick up a feel on a rein and it wants to just sort of fall like that, well, I might pick up that rein and lift like this to say, hey, pick up like that. And then when that horse is picked up, I might open it up and it opens up, thinking across, but lifting across, and instead of just falling across. So what I say to people, you're not riding your horse into the undercover car park with your hands low all the time. You're riding them into the car park that's above, you know, the top level car park. You're going, I'm going up onto the top level, thanks. I'm going up onto the top level. And the horse learns to lift and turn with the rein instead of just, like, bend its head and just, you know, just have those shoulders kind of either spilling out or just falling in. So, yeah, I hope that little bit of stuff, you know, helps. I know if you kind of stuck to it, you would find a big difference in your horse. So first, responsibility when it's just travelling. Don't keep hunting it with your legs all the time, because that might just keep the horse back on you and keep it kind of in that kind of sulky kind of head low kind of thing. Leave it alone until it starts to actually give it responsibility to travel forward. And then every time you do a transition with the reins, the horse has to lift up for the transition, lift up for the transition. And then after a while, there won't be a point in dropping down in between transitions. And when the horse gets confident at carrying you and not thinking about you so much and your legs and your hunting seat and all that sort of stuff, it might just start to think forward. A lot of horses that have been kind of carried with legs and things like that tend to be sort of stuck back going, oh, I can't think. You know, they've not been left alone long enough that they have to have responsibility. So, yeah, I think putting those things together maybe should help your horse. But instead of saying don't put your head down, I would say do something. Reins are for doing something, not saying don't. Okay, Brenda, it'll be some of the stuff that I'd be working on too. But I've recently started a 6-year-old Morgan mare who is quite confident and forward out on trail. She's green and can be heavy on the forehand. I recently rode her in an open paddock heading downhill on a reasonable slope. Her thoughts were strongly on the view in front of us, but I wanted her to slow a little and bring her weight back under me. More comfortable and safer for both of us. Her response to me interrupting her thought was to shake her head and potentially get really annoyed. Can you give me any suggestions on what to do earlier so that not to get in the way when it's almost too late? I don't want the head shake flipping the bird to escalate and become an issue. Many thanks, and fingers crossed at the Rockaby Clinic goes ahead. Thanks, Brenda. And yeah, I hope it does. Let's just keep our fingers crossed. I really like that venue there. And you know, since I've been there, it's a nice spot down there. And yeah, really hoping I can get in and do the Victorian run. And for everyone in Victoria, There's a bit of movement for you guys down there to be able to do the clinics, but we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Recently, like just at the last clinic, there's a little mare who came in green after a spell being broken in and had a bit of soreness or something and turned out for quite a long time and then come into the clinic. And she was a mare that had a fair bit of head shake, like just had strong thoughts. And if you picked up on a feel to say, hey, can you back up? She'd shake her head and kind of get a little anxious. And at the start, it was kind of dangerous because she had a bit of hop, you know, she could elevate a little bit and rear up. And really at the clinic, all we worked on, like it's a 4-day clinic, and the owner rode out just on the last day for a bit out in the paddock with some other horses, and she went pretty good for her. But we didn't want to sort of, after so long off and only being started, picked up and then having like 8-10 months off, we didn't want to overwhelm the mare and also put her in a situation where things could go wrong or be dangerous. So, and what we worked on with her to stop that fight and head shaking, because she had strong thoughts, is just in an environment where, you know, like started in the round yard, so it was an 18 or 20 metre diameter round yard. We just worked in there, just getting her to sort of walk and then just gently walk into a backup. So we started a few backups from a standstill and then we did a lot of backups. So by the fourth ride, that she was kind of melting into that backup, and you could see her have a forward thought, which was, I'd like to go over there, and you could interrupt that with the backup, and she'd kind of, so when she did have a forward thought previously, she'd kind of shake and fight and then maybe give and really be bracing her feet. But then we were able to interrupt those and say, hey, come back. And she kind of softened very quickly. So the transition got quicker and smoother. But basically every lesson just entailed walk, back up, walk over here, back up, walk over here, back up, just rest a little, center, good. And we did a lot of backups on the ground, under saddle. So she got so used to the weight. And then what we did is we did a lesson, which I really like doing because it's a good lesson for all horses to, and it's good for people too, because a lot of people, we get gathered up with the reins all the time, but just getting a good skill set of being able to let the reins out and slide up a rein or slide down a rein, pick a rein up, slide down a rein, pick a rein up, let the reins out. Is really good. So with a medium weighted rein, like a rope rein or a weighted leather rein, what I do is I hold the buckle, and or if you've got split reins, you can do it in a certain way, but if you've got joined reins, you hold the buckle, you put the buckle down on their wither, and then you just pick up the rein through the ring of one hand like that, and the weight of the rein just picks up in a gentle, nice, easy flow up until either the halter knot picks up. Now she was riding in a halter, but or the bit starts to pick up a little bit, and it's a nice even pick up a feel, and the horse gets used to that, pick up the rein, and it starts to become aware of the rein picking up, and it starts to pick up and prepare for the backup. And it's a good to get a nice consistent here comes the feel, and the horse preparing for that here comes the feel. So it goes from a drooped rein and it just slowly picks up to feel, and then if the horse firms on it, well, they firmed on it, so you can firm, and so that ring that you pulled there, you can firm and say, no, that door's closed, and the horse will come in and back up. And we also did that with her, so she could just pick up the weight of the reins up like that, and as the weight picked up, the horse would start to loosen and prepare for the backup. So yeah, we did a lot of those in a safe environment, and then we might have maybe just did little things like, and good things like, maybe point her to a spot where she gazes a little and then just back her from that gaze until her thoughts come back. And then just set it up so you break the gaze when the gaze is not super strong. It's not like you're going to go out and put her over the horizon and say, right, now I'm going to teach you how to back up. You have to do that first. And you know, people kind of laugh when I'll do a lesson with them and I'll sort of walk away and I'll send them on a little mission and I say, just keep doing that probably another 55,000 times and you'll have it right. And they kind of go, he's joking. And it's like, well, no, I'm not, because those little transitions to get like, so just remember, some horses that are bracy and pushy, it's their desire and their habit to want to want to push, and it's their idea, and because our idea is different, sometimes we have to do those little transitions a lot of times, because the memory of fighting starts to get overridden from the memory of doing the right thing. And if you did, and the way I look at it is, instead of calling transitions, you call them transactions, and it's either going to be a positive or a negative transaction. And some people sort of ride their horses, and every day the horse will have 60 negative transactions and 40 maybe slightly positive transactions. So those transactions are obviously transitions. But every time that horse has a transaction with the person, there's either a brace or a negative feel to it. So if you want that horse to find the right answer in a hurry outside when you need to sort of get the horse to come back, then you've got to have, yeah, every lesson, you've got to have had 100 positive transactions versus no negative transactions. So the horse only knows one answer when you pick up a rein. They only know one answer. Good morning, Biff. They only know one answer. Not, oh, sometimes I do this, sometimes I do that. So if there's scales and you've got 50 good ones, 50 bad ones, so you know, you've done a lesson, 50 of those backups have been rigid, 50 have been good, well, you still got, mate, the horse is going to be weighing up, and remember, those rigid ones are the ones that were the horse's original idea, so it was its own idea. So you really got to set it up so you do a lot of positive transactions, and then the horse only knows that answer. So when it does get a little anxious outside, or, you know, because nothing's perfect, you know, we can work on all this connection and all this sort of stuff, but there's always things that pop up that we need to kind of say, hey, I need you to come back, and it's going to help you feel better. So lots of good quality backing and lots of good quality steering. So, and also just go back to Brenda, what I talked to about Rhonda, just at the whole start of this this talk about teaching your horse when you lift up on the rein. So from groundwork, just lift their head up until they lift, and then they back up, lift, and then they back up, until when you lift the rein, they can lift and back, and lift and back, and then lift and turn. So lift and turn. Yeah. So you pick up the weight of the rein, like I said, when you pick up that floaty rein, you pick up one rein like that, and the horse will lift with the rein and then think a little and then look. So you'll actually feel, if you pick up one rein at a time, what you want to feel in your horse is when you pick up one rein, the horse will, as it starts to think to the side of the rein, you'll feel the wither lift a little. And that's when the horse is preparing to do something with the rein. And a lot of horses, they'll just bend, and even you might be good at lateral flexion and flex your horse and get its thoughts around. It might think left or right, fine, so be it. You might be able to get its head round, it might be thinking there, and you think, beauty, my horse is there. But if it's not actually preparing for a movement, then it's not actually balancing in the rein, ready to turn as it bends. So what you want to feel for is when your horse bends, it's lifting and bending a little bit, so it's all its feet are becoming available for a movement. If you lifted the rein towards your torso, then it would turn into a hindquarter yield. If you lifted it kind of out into an open rein, then it'd already lifted up to step in that front foot, because it's available. But if the horse is bending, and those feet are just sort of still or still braced and stuck to the ground like glue, well, the rein didn't do anything for the horse's balance, in the sense of getting it ready to make a movement. So it's a sort of preparation in the horse of a movement. So that's why I don't do a lot of lateral flexion on horses and vertical flexion, because every time I pick up the rein, I want to feel the horse preparing. And they'll still hang their head nice and float their head nice in the turns and float with the rein and all that sort of stuff. It's just that you'll have more of an instant preparation through the whole body of the horse. And that comes through a lot of, every time I pick up the rein, I want a thought change and I want a movement, but you have to pick up that wither and do it. I don't want you to just say, so the turn I teach most, and it's the turn I'm more excited about than other turns, I guess we all have a bit of a bias, is the turn I teach horses most commonly is to pick up, look, and open, think, th- think with the rein and open that inside front foot and step out, really lift and step out, because that's the movement that they do when they really want to go towards something. And that's the best turn, I believe, to get a horse to change its thought, as in, I'm thinking over there, but when they rebalance and step over here and think over here, it, as I say, the thought takes a whole rebalance, so you get a stronger change of thought. So another thing you can do instead of having her fighting and wanting to back her up is teach her good turns too. So sometimes if you go to back up and she's going to go rah, 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 like that and go up in the air, well, you just say, well, why don't you come over here? And then we'll reset that. So if she fights in a learning environment, the backup, when you're riding her, go for the backup. If she's going to fight and you know it's going to pop her up or something like that, we'll just take a rein and steer out over here, reset her, and then try the backup again. And the horse has got a lot of head fight. I wouldn't go into hindquarter yields until she's looser at backing, looser at taking those turn on the hindquarter where she's stepping out with the inside front foot and thinking across. And then I would... then I'd start to look into the hindquarter yields, because you'll get a better hindquarter yield, a better forequarter yield when you get a good hindquarter yield, because then you'll free up some of the brace in the hindquarter, and a good hindquarter yield causes a horse to collect even more. A bad one just teaches them to plonk on their front end and screw that inside front foot into the ground. So bad hindquarter yields aren't worth anything. Good ones are worth a lot. And everything we do has to be worth something. If we're doing a movement that's not worth anything, it's not worth doing it. And I see a lot of people doing a turn or a circle on a horse, and that circle's not worth anything because the horse is out of balance. Every time you pick up a turn, it's to put the horse back in balance, and most horses want to straighten out to get in balance. So they've got to find balance in the turn. That's important. And the backup. So I'm probably going a bit off track for your answer, but because she's a horizon mare and she looks over the horizon, she's got strong thoughts. When you're riding her and you take her out, those little things I talked about, picking up the reins, lots of transitions in the backup, well, you start to do that outside. You might only go out of the arena or the yard or whatever you're working from a little bit, and you might do some nice soft turns, some backups, and you just interrupt the thoughts in an environment where they're easier to interrupt, and just test everything, make sure it's working well, and then you take her a little further, then you bring her home. If she starts to go over the horizon at any point, don't let her. You want her thinking forward in the immediate, area, not in the over the horizon all the time. Because some horses just tap out and just machine, and no matter what direction they go, they'll leave home, like they're like a bat out of hell. And then you're thinking, well, their thoughts are changed. They're not thinking back at the yard, so they must be okay. So I'll just let them go on a loose rein and just think over the horizon. But those horses that look over the horizon on the way out, if you turn them home, sometimes it's just twice as strong on the way home. So it's very important you get them thinking in their immediate area. So yeah, lots of more transitions as you leave the yards, and don't let her go too far over the horizon and get her feeling good about the transitions, and that just means lots more of them until they feel good and they feel soft. So what was that, Brenda's? So Beck. And we got, must have four questions. I thought we only had three. I hope I got the right. No, I think I have. Hi there, Mark. I'm very new on my horsey journey and have purchased my first horse. Congratulations, Beck. You've got your first horse. I don't know if that's congratulations or not. Sometimes when people buy their first horse, they go, oh, geez, this is a lot in this. When I was young, riding horses, it was so simple. You just got on and you rode and you had fun. Nowadays, you've got to think of all these things, like how the horse feels and special diets and all this stuff. But I'm sure it was easier years ago. That's that's the common story I hear when someone's got back into horses. It's quite funny. And then they go, and this horsemanship stuff, I've got to think about everything. It just makes it so difficult. But it's all good stuff, because it's knowledge and it's important for the horses. But it's certainly... the journey in horses now seems a lot harder than the one when you were young riding, when you didn't think of anything and you just kind of wanted to ride, anywhere out in the paddock, bareback, flat out, didn't matter. I rode when I was young, very long period away, and been taking lessons for well over a year now. I've ridden him multiple times and felt really good, lovely temperament, etc. I have been given conflicting advice when bringing him onto our property. Someone said, take time settling him in and build the relationship before getting on and riding. The other advice is you need to get an ASAP and show the horse that they are going to be ridden here. So how would you approach this? Thanks, Beck. Both advice is right. But it depends on the horse. You don't like that answer, do you? I'll give you a better answer. Both advice is right, and it depends on the horse and the situation, because if your horse is kind of fragile and doesn't have much of a connection, and then a new environment riding, it's going to be a little difficult. And how does your horse feel under saddle with you in its old environment? If it's fine, get to the new environment, maybe just spend a day or two just kind of like with it, taking it a few places around the arena, getting it familiar. If the horse finds it easier to connect with you on the ground and you can get it used to a little bit of a new environment, then do it on the ground. But very quickly, I'd get on the horse, because you don't want to be sort of like, any horse that comes into a little bit of work, when you take it from its old place, you're going to have been riding it at the old place. And then if you take it to a new place and spend 3 or 4 months just doing groundwork, getting it connected, then, well, that's 3 or 4 months that it hasn't been ridden. So if you've got a good feel on your horse and you think he's in a good frame of mind, well, by all means, just do a day or so of just getting used to it. You don't have to show him the whole new environment. He'll settle in. You know, some horses are pretty good at settling in pretty quick. And if he likes you and he's connected with you and you have got a relationship with him, then you maybe only need to spend a day or two just kind of leading him around and standing with him and getting him used to some of the environment that you may have to ride him in. But then very quickly, if he's feeling good, I'd get on him and do the same under saddle. So you and him have got the confidence at the new place. If you let it go for 6 months or however long, thinking I'm doing all this, then when you get on him, he might still be fine, but you've just had that 6 months without riding, or 2 months without riding him, and you wouldn't have ridden him for that time either. So you'd be a bit sort of more nervous, and he might be a bit, I haven't had a saddle on a rider for a while. So I would try to read him quickly and figure out that, okay, he's safe in this paddock here or this area where we ride. I've led him around, everything's good, he's taken the saddle fine, he seems like a normal horse, I'm going to get on him and just ride him in this area here. And then at least each day you ride him a little bit and doing a bit of groundwork and connection work and relationship stuff, and then you just slowly, you'll be the judge of it. If he feels pretty ordinary when you sit on him, then maybe a little bit more time getting used to the environment with you. But I think he'd start to understand the environment and strike while the iron's hot, get on him, give him a little ride. But obviously, if he's kind of off his trolley, you're not going to, get on him, because usually he's normal and that's a bit odd. So, and if you're only getting back into riding, you don't want to be getting on him when he's kind of really anxious and lose your own confidence. So, but now I think, work on the relationship, but you should have the relationship already at the old environment. So it's not like you should have to work on the relationship in the new environment. You should have that. If you haven't got it, well, either way, you've got to work on it. The new environment is going to be just a new environment. And when he's a little used to it and he's looked around and he's settled, get on him and give him a little ride. And then just use that new environment to slowly build. You don't have to ride him everywhere around the new environment and say, look, I can take you everywhere. You can just slowly build it with a bit of groundwork, a bit of ridden work, and it'll be fine. Yeah. It's not that there's a lot of conflicting advice, and it's just different opinions. And a lot of times the advice doesn't conflict, it's just different ideas. Both advice is right, in a sense. So, yeah. Anyway, thanks for that question, and good luck with your horse and your whole new journey with your horse. It's quite exciting, and hopefully to be able to see you one day and help you out personally. That's what I really enjoy. I mean, I enjoy talking to everyone here and helping with questions, but I'm a hands-on person, so I really do like the interaction with the horses and the people and that. So, Juliana. Hi, Mark. My 15-year-old gelding came to me with white hairs in the outline of a saddle on his back. Must have been ridden in a poor-fitted saddle. I'm also pretty sure he was not treated well and driven from the ground very roughly. I have had him 3 years and just worked on relationship and trust, only been on his back a few times, and it was not pleasant. He was extremely anxious and wanted me off. We are now at a great place relationship-wise, and since I took your advice and don't drive him at all, he's come so far. Do you have any suggestions to get to the next stage where I can show him that riding will be okay? And not what he has known in the past. I can have him calm and connected while I sit on the fence and stand still, but if I try to move him at all, he becomes very worried. He is wary of the saddle, but if it takes lots of time and wait for him to relax in stages, he will accept it, and I can do girth and everything with no worries. How do I help him to change the negative mindset with regards to the ridden work? Okay. Right. This is an interesting question, and it's a horse's a question. I guess it's a subject that comes up a lot at clinics, in the sense of someone brings a horse like him, like just recently, just this last 4-day clinic, there's a little black pony that I helped, and I had a little bit of video footage of him at his last clinic, and he came this time, and this time I was riding him out on the place with horses, and the owner rode him and went really well, and he was really suspicious, really frightened around the back end. And part of the lesson was, is I had to throw him in the deep end. I did it, not the owner, and there's a reason for that. Is because I knew I could sort of help him out and see the other side of what he was worried about. The thing with suspicious horses that have had bad treatment, they'll always be suspicious. So you can get good relationship, you can get good everything that you think you get good. But then they'll still be suspicious as soon as the pressure's on, or the things, or the energy shift and the energy changes. And there's a point where you've got to put them back in the melting pot and take them out feeling better. That's not easy to do, because you're going to put them slightly in the place that they were worried. And then you're going to say, there is an answer out of here. It's not as easy. It is kind of easy to apply. So it will be a little bit of flooding that helps him. Now, I'm not a big fan of flooding. People that know me know that I don't just educate horses by flooding them. I want a thinking horse. But if the horse has been flooded with negative information and never found the answer, well, maybe you can kind of show him, say, this is what you're scared of, but when you start thinking about something, I'm going to release the pressure a little, and you'll find the answer in feeling a little better, whether it be following the rein or following the halter lead or something like that. So the lessons I would do for him, I would definitely not have him standing still, most definitely. So this little pony, when I worked him, I'll run through a little bit of what I did with him. Might give you some enlightenment on what to do with your horse. So the last lessons, when this little pony did the last clinic, it was all about teaching him we're not going to drive him, just like you've been working on. Because this pony really wanted to be friendly, but he didn't like education, because it had been offered to him in a way that made him think we're pushing him away. And he didn't like that, so he was frightened of that. He had a bad experience in a fence, or got a tangle up, and whatever's happened, he was super suspicious around the back end, that he'd always tuck his tail and spin around and run around and not trust you behind him and everything like that. So the owner worked on, and I'll just tell you this story, because this story will turn into what I would think you know, the story of your horse. Your horse might be a little bit more mentally scarred. I'm not sure. By the sounds of it, it might be. So we worked on just working on teaching her leading exercises, and then leading into working from the hip exercises, then leading into long reining exercises. So we could long rein him, we could work from behind, we could do all that while he's moving. And things were going really good, but then every now and again she said he'd kind of just like eat a bit of grass when he was long reining, and all of a sudden he'd feel the rope and tap out and go to spin around, and she said, I just can't get that bit out of him. And what I noticed that though, so when she came back to the clinic, I was really happy, though she was kind of like, oh, he was going so good, but I still think we just went backwards and I can't get it right. I said, well, don't worry, because I see a different horse now. I see a horse that looks at education differently. When we're standing beside him and we guide him, he's not looking frightened at us like he was before. He's not thinking we're going to chase him. All that's improved, and he's putting thought and movement together without anxiety, but he's still very suspicious if anything happens around there and if he taps out. But he's still a little frozen, so he still go from freezing and kind of like, I'm just going to freeze and put up with it until the worry cup's too full, and then I might pop. So basically, I came in and I, instead of working from one to, you know, up softly like you've probably been working with your horse, you know, stand at the saddle, you know, get him to come up at a rail and stand, but as soon as you put movement to him, he panics. Well, I came in and said, okay, I'm going to get him moving, and I'm going to have him leading and moving, and he's not going to stand still for, you know, I don't want any foot on the ground for more than a second, in the sense he's going to be moving and walking. It's not fast movement, it's not running him around or anything, it's just, if I see a foot freeze, I'll move him, and I'll just have him moving all the time, whether it be forwards, backwards, whatever. And then I'd lead him past me, and I'd grab on his back, and I'd rub him over, and I'd rub right around his hip, and he'd skedaddle a little, and I'd kind of stay with him while I'm moving, and then I'd get him thinking. When he was thinking, I'd just back off a little and let him think about it. So it was a hard lesson for someone to apply, in the sense that I've kind of dealt with this a lot and done it a lot, so I kind of know what I'm looking for, in the sense. But what I was really ultimately trying to do was say, I'm going to rub on you while you're moving, and he'd skedaddle a little, and it wasn't getting him anywhere. But at the same time, I was saying, keep moving and thinking, and think into this rein or think into this. And when he looked like he was trying to think, I'd back off a little and say, thanks for thinking. So what I was showing him, when he was getting worried and trying to react and run away and do that, I would say, that's not working. And then when I saw him think or soften into the rein, because I was still on the ground in the rein, what I mean is I had the rope, like the halter lead rope. When I saw him thinking into that, then I'd loosen and say, there it is. So after a while, I could start to put pressure on him from behind. I could wave the flag from behind. And when he went skedaddly like that, I'd just keep a little flag pressure on him, and he'd go, oh. So as soon as I see him skedaddle or do anything, I could wave the flag and put a little pressure on him, and then I'd watch him, and he'd start to think. And then he'd think, oh. And then he started to soften and think into the rein and go, oh, that's right, I'll think into the rein over here. And then we'd relax and let him go. So what started to happen is, under pressure, he'd start to search for his little task, which was thinking into the rein and just walking in front of me softly, instead of trying to move his hip around and try and face me. So that was just a lesson for him. So what I'd be suggesting is, you have to actually maybe get your horse moving, rub on that saddle and rub on it, and keep him moving for a little bit, like by leading him and pulling the saddle and things like that, until you feel him soften into the rein, and just soften a little and try and think about what you're doing. And then you just back off a little and say, thank you for thinking. And you will just keep doing that on either side until you can kind of walk at his hip, rub him all over, pull on the saddle. And if he gets a little anxious, you put a little feel on that inside rein, and he might fight a little bit, and you might stay in there and hold that inside rein. But then when he goes ka-chink and starts to think a little bit, then you'll just back off. And you might have to put a little draw in you or whatever, but, you know, to get him to draw in a little so it's not kind of smothering him until he stands. It's not smothering him. It's kind of smothering him a little till he thinks. And then when he thinks, you just relax and loosen, because you've put the other tools in place already. Over the last 3 years, you've built a lot more trust in him. He knows you're not going to chase him. All he has to do now is get over the memory of when I'm under this type of pressure, I usually react. And that was this pony. All we had to do was teach him that when you're under this type of pressure, there is an answer that's not run away. And when he knew that, it was like, oh, thank God for that. Oh, and then I could ride him out. And not once when I rode him did he do a spin around skedaddle. He only did a couple of little, oh, your legs are really on me, because I got big with my legs and I rode him with legs all over him. But he only sort of flinched a little bit, but he didn't skedaddle and do his little skedaddle, because he knew that really wasn't the answer anymore. Skedaddling wasn't going to help him. It was only going to keep a little pressure on him until he started to think about something. And so it did require a little bit of smothering to get him on the other side of the brace. But I thought it was important for him when he goes into that memory zone, that red zone, that there was an answer that was better than the answer he always took. And for him it was super important, because then every lesson he wasn't worried about the inevitable that may happen, even though it may not happen. It's still in there because you never fix it. So you might do all the connection work, all the relaxation work, all the other work, everything, all the guiding work, not driving anymore, blah, 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 blah. But you still got a horse that's got this, when I tap out, I tap out. And I've never learned how to deal with it. And it's in there and it's underlying. So when the horse gets into the red zone, it doesn't have the tools to get out of the red zone. And so somewhere you've got to put him up close to that red zone and smother him and then say, but you've got to keep an idea there until they find that door open. And that's why this lesson's a little tricky. But for those kind of horses, it's important that they find that doorway out of the red zone, and it's okay. And once you get them on the other side of that brace, everything changes, in the sense of then they stop worrying about that what if, because that what if's not there anymore, because they have the answer and it's been rectified. I'm sorry about that big answer. It is a technical subject, but sometimes different horses it's harder to apply. But if you're confident to keep a bit of feel on that saddle and rub on him, offer him a pathway until he softens, and then soften with him, and keep doing that until you can put your foot in the stirrup and do the same thing. And you know, there's no value in having him standing there too long. He's got to learn to move. And then when he's moving soft, you can offer him a standstill. There's a horse that was at the same last clinic, and it's a horse that I've helped the lady with a little bit, and she's quite a tricky mare. She started her at a starting clinic, and we sort of had some good progress, but she's a mare that's quite interesting, and her first saddling lesson, because she's had not had the saddle on for quite a while now, and not been ridden for quite a while, I put a belly rope on her. And she was kind of quite anxious about it and quite angry about it. So I used the belly rope. Instead of going, hey, I'm going to take a little bit of pressure until you soften, and then I'm going to, you know, let it down. Because the owner does a lot of this all the time, and we do this. But the mare's still like, I know what I like and I know what I don't like. And, you know, you can listen to me all you like. But she needed an alternative. Instead of just kind of going, oh, I'm going to read her signals all the time, she needed an alternative. So I said, okay, well, I'm going to pick up on that. You're going to get grumpy, but I'm going to keep picking up on that girth, and I'm going to teach you to move forward with the girth. And then, because I was also teaching her, because she's real bad with belly pressure with leg aid, so I was secretly teaching her leg aid as well while I had the belly rope on her. And, you know, some people would say, well, that's going to teach the horse to move forward every time you girth them. But no, because your intention is move forward. If your intention is not to move forward, then the horse won't move forward. It depends on how you offer your intention. So I would sort of pull on the girth and I'd just step up a little, and she'd go, and she'd suck back, and I'd keep pressure till she moved forward. And then I taught her to move forward until she could trot forward to the girth pressure, as in I had a belly rope on her and she could trot forward. And then once she could, then all of a sudden, instead of having a hard thought, she just went, I'm going to move forward. And then she just softened and travelled forward. And then we did it till we could actually get her just to make soft steps. I'd pick up a little soft feel on the girth, and she'd take a soft step, and then basically she just, her whole demeanor changed, because she had an alternative to that anxiety. So yeah, there's one thing, worrying and thinking about all your horse's signals, but sometimes, you know, you've got to offer them an alternative, and then that's far better than sometimes just hanging and waiting all the time for the horse to have a soft change. I'm not saying watching the others is important, but there's a time to sort of give them alternative, especially horses with bad memories of bad pasts. And so I gave her an alternative, which was move forward to that stuff you don't like, and it'll loosen a little. And then once she could move forward softly and we start stop getting all that aggression and stuff like that, then I taught her to stop with it. So I'd pick up the girth, so I'd ask her to go, I'd loosen, and she'd start to travel. And then I'd say, now stop, and I'd pick it up to stop. And then she'd stop with the girth, and then I'd loosen it. And then when I put the saddle on and girthed up, she stood there, and she had her head round and a soft eye, and she was just kind of like just feeling on me while I was girthing her up. Now, to get her to stop, I would obviously help her with the rein a little and say, now stop, if she didn't understand it, because obviously she could have got a little confused between go and stop. But she was so good at picking up my intention that it only took two goes, and I could say go with the girth and then stop with the girth. But I'd just slow my intention as I pulled the girth, or I'd go like this when I pulled the girth, and she'd move forward. And yeah, it just made her feel so much better, and all that anger and all that stuff went away. But it's a similar subject on your subject about your horse. You've got to give them alternatives. So if you put a bit of pressure on that saddle and that horse is always getting anxious, well, the alternative might be just follow a soft feel over here. And when that alternative, they think about that, they go, oh, that wasn't too bad because the rein made me feel better because you took a bit of pressure off them. And then you start again until the pressure doesn't frighten them. But anyway, tricky subjects. And you know, that's why I guess I like doing clinics, because I can really show people those tricky areas, you know, that are hard to sort of even show on a video, because it's ever so every horse is different, so you might apply it in a different way. Like I know that the owner of this particular horse, it's a bit tricky. She sometimes must get confused, because I'll come in and do one thing, and then the next day I'll do the opposite and go, I'm not going to do that today. And it's just purely because I know that moment that'll work, but this moment that's not the right thing to do, and that's the hardest thing. And that's why I think, you know, it's important to really look and watch your own horses and not just do what everyone tells you, I suppose. But yeah, anyway, thanks for everyone for joining, and g'day Kylie. Just saw you there. I was too busy kind of thinking then. Anyway, thanks everybody, and I'll talk to you in roughly another fortnight. So thank you and goodbye.